On today's Part of My Take, we have a ton of NBA draft coverage. We have the first pick in the draft, Markelle Fultz. He joins us for a six-pack of questions. He also tells you which Philly cheesesteak he goes with. Pretty big breaking moves. We have Ryan Russillo, our friend, who breaks down the entire draft for us. We also have Mount Rushmore of websites and Guys on Chicks, because it is Wednesday. Before we get to all that, I wanted to talk to you guys quickly about our friends at Key Smart Tile. Bulky keychains are noisy, unattractive, and a pain to carry around. They jingle as you fumble to find the right key, and they poke in your pocket. Worst of all, they're easy to misplace, and that leaves you locked out and out of luck. But guess what? With over 2 million sold, KeySmart is the most popular key organizer ever made, and now KeySmart has teamed up with Tile, the leading GPS tracker, to create the world's smartest key organizer. The KeySmart Tile is a minimalist key organizer with GPS technology that lets you track and locate your missing keys from your phone so you'll never lose your keys again. Track your keys on a map. In the free Tile app, make your keys beep from your phone. It also works vice versa with your phone. If you lose your phone, you can make it ring even if it's on silent by pressing a button, your KeySmart Tile. So here's the deal. With a limited supply, they're going to sell fast. Sign up for the pre-order wait list to get first dibs on the first production run of the KeySmart Tile and be entered to win $500 to Barstool Sports. Head to barstool.getkeysmart.com to enter your email address on the wait list. Again, head to barstool.getkeysmart.com to get on the KeySmart Tile wait list now and enter to win $500 to Barstool Sports. Let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Wednesday, June 21st, and LeBron is subtweeting.
I was going to say it's summertime.
Oh!
How about that?
True!
Hey, here's a good hot seat if anybody's looking for one today. Spring is on the hot seat. Hank, you can use that
one. You knew Hank was looking for one, and yes, you just stole it from him.
I did. But yeah, you're right. LeBron is making waves.
Yes. We got a ton of show to get to, but the first thing we have to talk about is the ousting of David Griffin. Suddenly, the Cavs, Dan Gilbert, has decided that David Griffin is gone. There's two theories. One is it's a LeBron job. Mm-hmm. We all know it. David Blatt is sitting somewhere in Israel right now being like, that goddamn guy, LeBron.
I told you.
Yeah, I told you. Two, Dan Gilbert's really fucking cheap, and he has, what's the stat? He's never given a GM a second contract in 12 years.
Exactly. Ooh, that's a really good stat. Yeah.
Thanks.
He just hires new guys, and then he just lets them go.
Right.
And it's funny because like people do make the joke that LeBron James is the GM of the mm-hmm. Cavaliers. But you can tell from some of the trades, like the Channing Frye trade, you can tell like which one's not a LeBron trade.
Yeah.
It's like if you listen to a Beatles album, you're like, that Ringo wrote that song.
Yeah.
I can tell that's a Ringo special.
The best is when he made the Heat draft Shabazz Napier and then left the Heat.
Yes.
That was my favorite LeBron GM move. But either way, looks like we got some trouble in paradise in Cleveland. And like I said, LeBron is subtweeting Dan Gilbert. And Dan Gilbert wants to get Chauncey Billups. What the hell is that?
Well, Dan Gilbert loves guys from Detroit.
Yes.
He's a big Piston.
True. He's a Detroit guy.
He's got a fetish for Detroit, Michigan.
He does. He's got a fetish for those 2004 Pistons that really lit up the court and made everyone love the game of basketball.
Well, to be fair, the 2004 Pistons, they said that they could beat the Warriors.
Right.
I believe they said that they'd sweep them.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you got to beat
best
the Warriors,
team of all time.
That's what you got to do.
The most perfect part of David Griffin getting fired, though, was there was rumors that he was in advanced talks with the Bulls front office, which means the Bulls front office basically was talking to a guy who had been fired, which is so perfect. Like, they were like, oh, we finally found someone who wants Jimmy Butler. And then the next phone call, it's Dan Gilbert being like, oh, actually, everything you've been talking about is off the table because that guy's fired.
You finally get a girl that will go to prom with you,
yeah,
and then she's pregnant.
She's dead. Or pregnant. Yeah. Whatever. She's pregnant. She's pregnant and dead.
Both.
Yeah. Oh, that's morbid. Kinda, yeah. The other trouble in paradise, Phil Jackson is just taking a big shit all over the Knicks.
He's just taking a big shit all over himself.
Yeah. Well, this is what I love about where the Knicks are at. Now you even have non-Knicks fans feeling bad for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of tweets being like, I'm not even a Knicks fan, and if Phil Jackson trades Porzingis, this is like a crime against humanity.
Yeah. I like to imagine Phil Jackson isn't even in New York. He's out in his ranch in Montana or something like that.
Yes.
And he's got his like wireless connection.
Cybering with Genie Bus.
Yeah, Cybering with Genie Bus on one screen. Two monitors.
Yes.
So it's that on one screen. Then the other, it's like that movie War Games where he's calling in. He's just destroying the Knicks from afar and just like planting little nuggets of information and leaks just designed to make them look as inept as possible. So I love it. I don't want my Knicks to be good. Have you ever seen like a New Yorker that's happy?
Mm.
It's the worst.
Good point.
Yeah, so keep these New Yorkers a little upset. But I was trying to think, is there one good thing that the Knicks have going for them now?
Porzingis.
Is there anything?
That's the only good thing they have.
Now they don't have Porzingis going for him anymore.
Right.
Like, there's nothing good.
Right. If he does trade him, it's like Phil Jackson, I think we've said this on this podcast, but he is dangerously close to tarnishing your legacy territory. As himself. Phil Jackson, like, his legacy as an NBA guy, mind, player, coach, GM, you always remember the last thing you did. And if he trades Porzingis and like continues to make the worst team in the NBA even worse,
mm-hmm.
that's some legacy talk.
It's the last thing that he did is what people remember. That's why people are like, oh, FDR. Oh, he died.
Yeah.
What a winner. He died.
We'll have to change him on our basketball pyramid of GMs.
It's like a murder-suicide of legacies that he's doing right now. He's killing the Knicks and then destroying
himself.
Yeah, the Knicks, they're so bad, but they're also a little bit sinister. Like the Browns at least are kind of lovable
because
they're harmless.
Right.
But it's like if you were to put like Marge Schott in charge of the Browns, then that's what the Knicks are.
Right. James Dolan is the sinister part of the Knicks. He makes them very unlikable in every way.
Yeah, he's a mediocre guitar player at best.
Right. And he's also the definition of born on third, thought you hit a triple.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing worse. All right, we got our hot seat cool thrown. Before we do that, I had a quick plug. Our friends at Mixtape, Coley and Tyler, we've had them on this show before. You got to go download it because they had JaVale McGee, champion JaVale McGee, NBA champion, rat tail owner JaVale McGee.
First
guy ever with a rat tail to win an NBA title on Mixtape. So go download that on iTunes right now. We also have the debut of Billy Football's Vieries.
Documentary.
So his vocumentary. It's a video documentary.
First of its kind.
And it's coming out. It's about the behind the scenes of Billy taking us through our diet. That's going to come out on Barstool Sports. Check out the app. Download the app. You can also watch our awesome real documentary about Bill's Mafia, which is probably the coolest thing we've done as a company. All right. Let's do Hot Seat Cool Throne. Hank, you want to go?
Sure.
You sure?
I'll start.
You positive?
Yeah. My hot seat is DJ Khaled.
Ooh. Ooh.
He was like the diary. He was the darling of everyone's eye.
Yeah. Are we still saying stuff is key?
Major key.
Did people ever actually say that it was major key, or did they just like put that on Snapchat?
Major key.
Major
DJ
key.
Khaled was hot, like hot in the streets for a solid like year and a half.
He had a nice run.
He was at a music
I don't think
festival
DJ Khaled's
weekend.
Ever been on
no,
a nice
he,
run.
DJ Khaled like works out nonstop,
mm-hmm.
and he's like the fattest guy ever. He really does.
It's a major key.
All his Snapchats are him on the elliptical.
But he went to a music festival, tried to perform actual music, and just got booed off the stage. Because, I mean, all of his songs are just other
he's
people singing and him in the background.
Right.
DJ Khaled. So he tried to get up there, do a solo performance, got booed off the stage.
Did he try to sing?
He tried to perform
his
songs.
Is there video of this out there?
Yes.
I need to watch this.
My favorite DJ Khaled moment was when he live Snapchatted getting lost in the ocean mm-hmm. on his jet ski.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he Snapchatted live his wife's birth, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was just like in the background being like, my son's major key
major
already.
Major key.
His son's the producer of like all of his albums now.
What, like
his
baby?
Infant?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Wow. Yeah. So that's why his shit has turned bad.
Mm-hmm. And my Cool Thrones emojis.
Oh.
Did you do this a couple weeks ago? No.
No.
So emojis, obviously it's a season, NBA free agency, the draft. That's how players express themselves, by just tweeting out emojis of what's
the
going
eyeballs.
On.
Eyeballs.
The eyeballs.
The eyeballs are the thinking. Mm-hmm.
If you went and looked, if you grabbed every single NBA player's phone right now, I guarantee the most recently used emoji, the eyeballs
eggplant.
Are in there. Yeah, eggplant with the water and then eyeballs.
Yep. That's probably mine too.
Yeah. All right, PFT?
My hot seat is my liver.
Oh, yeah.
So we're kind of going through a little rocky period in ketosis over here, part of my take. Billy Football, our 18-year-old nutritionist slash life coach slash mentor, I guess.
He's everything to us. He's our everything.
He's basically everything. He's put us on this ketosis diet, and I'm heavy in ketosis. I'm pissing red, pissing purple, you name it. And we got an email from a concerned listener saying, hey, if PFT actually has had liver issues, then ketosis can actually be the worst thing.
Oh, whoops.
Like, actually dangerous. So right now, I don't know where I'm at. I feel good. I think I look good, too. I've lost some weight.
Yeah.
Lost the LBs. So you know what? We were talking about this earlier. If I die, I'm going to have a six-pack in like 2 weeks.
You're going to look so skinny when I take a picture of your dead body.
Yeah, take a picture of my dead body and like put some nice filters on it. Yes. My Instagram's going to be popping when
I'll make
I'm
you
dead.
Look like a dog.
Take my glasses off.
Yeah,
how about
there we
that?
Go. I don't think this is the last time this is going to happen. When you hire an 18-year-old kid to be your nutritionist, I don't think this is the last time people are going to email us and be like, hey, what you're doing is actually super dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I think this is more like the start of the Billy Football.
It's the content spiral that we have.
But here's the thing is it's good because it's like a checks and balances because then Billy Football goes and does a little more research and he comes back and he's like, actually, you're not going to die.
But you can get a liver transplant though, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you mine.
So I'm fine. Thanks. My cool throne is presidential rumors. So it's been about 6 months since the inauguration, and that means that it's time for people to start publicly saying that they're not interested in running for president, but actually really being interested.
Mm-hmm.
Like just getting their name, like Kamala Harris and who was the other? Chelsea Clinton is kind of like dancing around it, like running for office in the future. But the big one is...
Oh, we need another Clinton.
The big one is Joe Biden. So here's what Joe Biden said.
Uncle Joe.
And Uncle Joe is the master of this, okay?
Remember when he ate ice cream in the window?
So good. And he wore the aviators?
Oh, Uncle Joe.
He said...
I love how you can just love a politician because of one picture, and then you just, like, basically project all your feelings on that guy. And you're like, love Uncle Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love him.
So stupid.
Voted for a lot of wars. Okay, he said, I have no intention of running for president, but I'm a great respecter of fate.
Ooh.
So that is, I love that line. I too am a great respecter of fate.
That means to me, Joe Biden is only running for president if God tells him he should.
Mm-hmm.
And then once God tells him he should.
Your hands are tied. That's not
what are you
going to
do?
As a good Catholic, it would be a sin to not do it.
You literally cannot stop if God wants you to run for president. My hot seat, also a little political here, not to get into too deep into politics, but I guess they've stopped doing White House briefings, videotaping them. And someone asked Steve Bannon why, and he said Sean got fatter. So Sean Spicer, so hot seat, fat people. So it's summer, we're shaming fat people now.
Mm-hmm.
Sean got fatter. Good thing I'm on a diet, so no one can say I'm fat anymore.
Yeah, why don't we put Sean in ketosis?
Just give him some daily jugs.
Billy, can you come up with a plan for Sean Spicer to lose some weight?
Yeah.
Like something that, using DC ingredients.
Yeah. Do you know what?
What would you write on his jug if you were giving him a motivational jug?
Ooh.
I would...
tell the truth.
Yeah, tell the truth. Tell the truth, Sean.
The good thing about being on a diet when you're a fat person is you lose like those instant 5 pounds. So everyone's like, wow, you look great.
Oh, you know what
I'm still very much overweight.
I'd put that picture of Marco Rubio drinking the water from that one State of the Union. Be like, hey, stay thirsty, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't want to be this. Don't have this be you.
Mm-hmm.
And then my cool throne, little off the wall here, but I wanted to share this with you guys. Marrying your sibling. So did you guys see this tweet that went viral? I'm going to show you guys. It said, I married my sister because you can't control love. I'm sure some of you have thought about marrying your sister, brother, so you can relate. And it's gone viral, and it's the guy holding his sister's pregnant belly.
I'm just going to say it. The guy in that picture is way less attractive than the girl. So I could understand why that's the most attractive woman that will ever love you.
Yes.
So might
you outkick your
it.
Coverage with your sister.
Yeah. You can't afford to be choosy. If
right.
You're him.
Take advantage of the situation. Yeah, that's fucking gross. That's one of those, like, internet has gone too far. Mm-hmm. We just don't need that.
In the words of LeBron James, I'm sick of people with all their outcest. Let's bring back incest.
All right. Before we get to our Mount Rushmore, I wanted to quickly talk to you guys about Lisa. We got a new deal from Lisa. Lisa has the best mattresses, and I know it used to be $75 off, but no more. Go to lisa.com/barstool today and receive an exclusive $100 off your Lisa mattress. We all sleep on Lisas. No one wants to spend hours visiting those awkward showrooms where you're forced to spend thousands of dollars on subpar mattresses. You guys all been there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stinks. Yep. Well, Lisa changed the game so you can now enjoy the comfort of a luxury mattress at a fraction of the price. They send it to you in this nice little box. It's super easy. 100-night risk-free trial along with free shipping so that you can properly try out your mattress. If you don't like it, you send it right back. But you're going to love it because Lisa is the most comfortable mattress out there with over 10,000 five-star customer reviews. So go to lisa.com/barstool right now and receive an exclusive $100 off your Lisa mattress. lisa.com/barstool. Do it. All right, Mount Rushmore season. It is Mount Rushmore season, so we are going to embrace debate every episode. We have a new topic, and we're going to share our Mount Rushmores of that topic. Today's is going to be a fun one because I think we're going to get some very different answers from young Hen Easy. We're doing Mount Rushmore of websites.
Just websites in general.
It's brought to you by BarstoolSports.com, so we're just going to throw that out there. It's okay. That's the umbrella. So mm-hmm. BarstoolSports.com is the god website.
That's the sun shining down on the
Mount Rushmore,
Rushmore
right. Websites. So let's get that out of the way. And now, Mount Rushmore websites. Who wants to go? Hank.
You got a PFD.
Okay, I'll go first. Yeah, this is actually like the most pressure that I've felt because there's...
All right, I'll go first.
Okay.
All right. My first website, Mount Rushmore, addictinggames.com. Mm.
Yeah, that's a great call.
You ever go to Java Cafe or whatever the hell that was,
nope.
too? No, that was another one. Coffeebreak.com.
No. Okay. Addicting Games, that one had the slalom one.
Yeah.
What was that one called?
Oh, where the monster comes out and eats you?
No. Jet slalom. Jet slalom was the shit.
Let me just, before we continue, this is going to be a lot of, like that? And then like, no, you're remembering it wrong. Mm-hmm. But continue. That's a good one.
My second one is sensports.com.
Hmm.
I don't know if you remember this one. This is my introduction to gambling. My brother showed me when I was in like...
Is it a competitor?
Sixth, Ooh. Seventh grade. It gives you a penny and you can gamble on whatever you want. And so you can, if you build it up and if you get over $20, then you can cash out. And they had like jujitsu odds, so it'd be like plus 25,000. So I'd just bet on that with a penny, mm-hmm. get to like 25 cents, keep going.
We should actually, let's do this some episode this summer. We'll call the action. I want everyone to email in to tell us how they got addicted to gambling. Because mine was at a turtle race when I was like 11 years old in Key West, Florida. Won $100.
That's a good one.
Felt that rush. Never looked back.
Turtle races are awesome, by the yes. way. There's a great place in Austin that does turtle races.
Yes. So we're going to do that some episode.
My third one is cheatcodes.com.
Ooh.
For video games.
Uh-huh. Oh, you little cheater.
See, we had to go out and buy a Game Genie.
Game Genie,
or,
yeah.
like, get a Nintendo Power magazine.
Mm-hmm. Game Genie was this thing. It was this contraption you attached to your Game Boy. It was sick.
And it just gave you all the cheat codes?
Yeah,
you
can plug in your codes, yeah.
And then my fourth one is cheatcods.com, which was my first introduction to porn.
Oh,
it was one of the ones that hoped that you made the typo.
No, I was at my neighbor's house when I was like, again, like 10 years old, trying to type in cheatcodes.com, typed in cheatcods.com, saw like boobs, was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Wow. All right. That's good.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I guess I'll go second. first of all, I'm disappointed that Hank didn't include this. My number one is Wikipedia.
Mm.
The best website of all time.
Yes.
I don't think I even need to explain it. No, we have a Wikipedia club. You guys should get it.
Is there a Wikipedia for Wikipedia?
Ooh. Now we're going down the rabbit hole.
Wikipedia, Pornhub, and Barstool, I kind of just assumed were.
Right.
Okay. Well, okay. I was going to say YouPorn instead of Pornhub. But okay, my number two is similar to Hank's cheat codes. Mine is whitehouse.com. I think we all remember whitehouse.com from going to that for like an elementary or middle school project. And it's just a porn site.
The internet was the best.
So every teacher had to be like, okay, when you research the White House, do not type whitehouse.com. So then mm-hmm. the first thing that we do is type whitehouse.com. Mm-hmm. Turns out it's whitehouse.gov is the real one.
Yep.
Number three. See, now I'm getting down to the
tough
decisions
it's
here.
Tough.
Number three, I'm going to go with the lighter side of things. I'm going to go with mulletsgalore.com.
Ooh, okay.
Mullets were real hot back in the early 2000s, late 90s, Hank.
Yep.
And so people would just go around taking pictures of mullets out in the wild and then post them to this website with funny captions. And it was honestly the funniest thing that I had ever read at the age of 12.
Yes.
Or like age of 11.
Yes.
I remember it said shit heel. It said, hey, welcome to the website, shit heel. And I was like, that is fucking funny. That's comedy.
Badasses.
Badass, for sure. And then my number four, I'm going to go with the Yahoo Fantasy Football page from 2003 to 2008.
Yeah. When they changed it, remember the panic?
Hated it.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely hated it.
It made me so mad when they changed that over.
Michelangelo never created anything close to the perfection that was on the 2003 Yahoo Fantasy Football homepage.
We actually, my league changed that year. We changed to ESPN. We were like, fuck this.
Yeah.
And then we went back because we're like, no, fuck that.
Mm-hmm. Basically, yeah, ESPN and Yahoo, they just, every year one of them fucks up real bad.
Right.
And then the other gets huge the next
bump.
Year, and then they crash during like week one.
Yeah.
And then everyone goes back to the other one.
You like what you like. All right. I have, first up, you guys ever used to go to Maddox?
No.
You didn't? Oh, my God. Really?
Was that like is that like Chicago Craigslist?
No, it was a guy who basically wrote online. He would like post pictures and write stories. You never went to it.
Maddox.
He was a humor guy. It was Maddox.
No.
It literally says the best site on the best site in the universe. And I also combo Homestar Runner. Do you guys go to Homestar Runner?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, I had to throw that in there. All right, my next one. Because Hank, you had your first. I think we all had our first porn site, freeones.com. Mm. Do you guys ever use Free Ones?
I was more of a celebritynudes.com guy.
Yeah, back in the day when there were no videos, you just look at pictures. You basically was just like Playboy pictures and Penthouse pictures online.
And then you download the pictures that you really liked onto like a floppy disk.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what was her name? What was it? Brianna
Banks.
Banks, yes. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Throwback, uh-huh. Brianna Banks. Next up, I have E-Bombs World.
Yes.
You had to go. That was basically YouTube before YouTube.
Yep.
And they would have all kinds of stuff. That's where I first think I saw Grape Lady. Remember Grape Lady? Grape Stomping Lady?
I don't think I ever saw Grape Stomping.
Oh, you got to watch that.
I'll check it out.
We'll make you watch
that. You've definitely seen
it. I used to spend a significant amount of time on E-Bombs World.
And then last one I had was Meat Spin, because there's nothing better than changing your buddies' homepage to Meatspin,
yeah.
Having them open it
or
up.
Or sending them a link in AIM.
Yes.
And you say, hey, look at this crazy new Bears news.
Yes.
And then you highlight it and make it the link to Meatspin, and then it counts how many times
yes.
they watch the spin.
Yes.
Surprised nobody put ideepthroat.com
Ooh,
on there. Because
yeah.
that was, I don't even know if that was an actual website. You just saw the name of it in every video that you watched.
You know which one I had right on the cusp, which was, I didn't want to come across as a nerd, but I wanted to just bring up because Hank probably doesn't know this, MapQuest. Because remember those days when you had to literally print the map from your computer where you wanted to go,
mm-hmm.
and then sit there with paper in your car,
mm-hmm.
reading where you're going.
And it would always print out in two pages.
Yes,
the first
yes,
would be a like an aerial view map. And the map was,
yes.
you would never, ever use it for anything.
Yeah.
It's like looking at a normal car atlas without glasses on, if you have shitty vision. But then the second page was the actual directions.
Right.
Let's go through our alternates that we left out, because I feel like we all had some pretty hot alternates.
Okay, I had my other alternates were AOL, because obviously, and then MapQuest was my other one.
Okay. I had the Hamster Dance.
Yes.
As one of mine, but that was only older people like that one.
You know that one, Hank?
I didn't know that's a website.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Hamster
what
Dance.
What was
it?
It was literally that.
It was a bunch of hamsters that were dancing around while you listened to a shitty
to that song.
It was a song from Robin Hood, from Disney's Robin Hood, sung by hamsters. So yeah, believe it or not, that one wasn't profitable. And then my last one that I had as an alternate was the original ESPN, ESPNnet.sportszone.com.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it was like mid-90s, and so they thought, hey, we're going to have a high-tech sounding name, so we're going to add a bunch of high-tech sounding words to it,
mm-hmm.
before they realized, hey, people just want to type in four letters and get to your website.
That was also back in the day when the tournament would come around, and you could only get the scores on CBS Sportsline.
Yep.
So you'd have to switch from ESPN to CBS Sportsline to get the updated tournament scores.
Yep.
Yeah. Good times. Oh, I think we're going to have some good embrace debate on that one.
That was good.
All right, let's get to our interviews. Before we do, I wanted to quickly mention ZipRecruiter. So with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. All right. We have two interviews for you. We got Markelle Fultz at the last second. Shout out Sam Porter for hooking that up. That was an awesome interview, and we did a six-pack of questions. He's going to be the first pick in the draft. And then we have Ryan Russillo on, who breaks down the entire draft for us, but in a good, funny way that idiots like us can understand. So here are both interviews. All right, we now welcome on what should be the first pick. I'm actually going to say it. The first pick in the 2017 NBA draft, Markelle Fultz. And let me start by saying, from part of my take, we want to be the first to say congratulations on being the first pick.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hopefully that happens, that comes out.
We were the first to do it. That's actually history.
Do you want to congratulate us
on being the
breaking
first?
That news, Markelle?
Thank you for having the belief in that. I'm just going to leave it in God's hands and hope it all plans out.
Okay, awesome. So we have a six-pack of questions. We do this with our one of our favorite NBA guests, Rachel Nichols. So let's get going. The first question, what is the first thing you're going to buy when you sign your NBA contract?
The first thing I'm going to buy is something for my mom and my sister and my my trainer, Keith. I'm going to get them something, so that's going to be the first thing I'm going to get.
Okay, making us all feel bad.
Even before you have dinner, you're not going to buy dinner first?
No. I'm not buying dinner for sure. I'm going to have somebody else. What I'm going to do is I'm going to act like I still didn't get my check yet, and I'm going to get somebody else to buy me dinner.
Smart.
Okay, nice.
Smart. I'm
going
to start
that.
Doing that. I still haven't gotten paid. You need to buy.
Yes.
All right, question number two. Did you feel disrespected by the Celtics at all, that they were willing to part with that number one pick?
No, I didn't. Actually, I mean, I'm just happy I got a chance to play basketball. So when they did that, I really didn't have any feelings, really. So that's how that went.
Well, all right, so we're PR 101 guys, and we're going to help you out. We can actually, if you want to hire us as part of your team, once you get in the NBA, we're happy to do it. But the correct answer to that is, I didn't feel disrespected, but I know I'm the best player in the draft, and now I'm going to play with a chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And then
sure.
You can do the Peyton Manning answer and say, I'm going to kick Danny Ainge's ass like four times a season.
Right. So you got to, every time you play the Celtics, you got to be ready to go, chip on your shoulder. Like, that's something, like, Jeremy Schapp is going to do an E60 with you in 10 years, and you got to be like, I remember the day that the Celtics didn't want to draft me.
I got you.
Okay. All right, good. All right, number three, what is the plan for your handshake with Adam Silver?
All right, so what I was thinking about, I still haven't made it up, but I was trying to think of something cool because, you know, people say I don't smile. So I was thinking, like, I don't know, like give it like a scary look at him or something. I don't know.
Just stare him down?
Okay.
Staring contest. That's a good one.
Yeah, are you going to go hug or are you going to go handshake? Are you going to do the handshake bring into the hug? Like, we need to know beforehand
I'm probably going to try to do the handshake bring into the hug, but if you get a professional, you know, I'm down with that too. So
okay,
just a little tip. I think bunny ears are coming back. If you want to bring back bunny ears, now is a great
maybe
chance.
Maybe pants them. Pants Adam Silver. Let him know who's boss.
Pants him? Yeah. I don't know. I gotta set a high standard.
Yes. True.
Okay. Question number four. You're probably going to. Well, we broke the news earlier. You're going to go to the 76ers with the first overall pick. Are you injured yet?
Am I what?
Are you injured yet?
So it usually happens to Sixers first round picks.
No, I'm not injured.
Okay.
All right. We just want to make sure.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Healthy.
Markelle Fultz, healthy. That's a first for the Philadelphia Sixers. So we're happy to break that. All right. Number five. Did you see a Philadelphia writer by the name of Bob Brookover wrote a column that said Sixers gave up too much for star who didn't win. And then in the first paragraph of the column, he starts it off with, I confess that I have never seen Markelle Fultz play a basketball game, and I was not at his 76ers workout Saturday in Camden. Still, it is hard to stamp a seal of approval on what the franchise is about to do. And basically went on to say that he's never actually watched you play a game of basketball, but because Washington didn't go to the tournament, you're a loser. Thoughts?
That's funny, because first of all, I mean, I'm glad you wrote that. That's a little bit of motivation for me.
But, yes, now you're learning. You're learning fast. Chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. So I'm going to prove him wrong. And how are you going to say something you didn't watch me play?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's how us big capital J journos do it now. We go with our gut over our eyeballs.
Right.
So, yeah.
So we just look at wins and losses and we're like, nope, Markelle Fultz, bust.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, damn. Well, I guess, he really didn't look at none of my resume. He just looked at college because all my other resumes pretty well. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you won the U18 gold medal, right?
U18 gold medal, high school. I think I lost 4 games in like 2 years. So, I mean, we did pretty well. So.
What was your GPA?
GPA and where, college?
Yep.
3.3.
Ooh, all right, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a winning GPA.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like the four, only lost 4 games in high school. That's the check your facts.
I like the fact that you didn't say a 4.0 GPA. You're not a nerd. No. Mm-hmm. You're just you're getting B's. Yeah. You're like a B plus.
Yeah.
That's a little bit too much.
There you go.
Yeah.
And number 6 in the 6-pack of questions, you're going to get asked this a million times, but let me be the first to ask it. Pats or Genos?
Genos.
Ooh.
Trick question. It was D'Alessandro's.
Wow.
You sound like a tourist a little
bit. All right. Markelle Fultz. He's on the Geno train. Markelle, thank you so much for joining us. You're now a recurring guest, so that means not only do you have to pay us because we're your PR team, but whenever we want you back on, you got to come back on.
I got you.
All right. Thank you so much. Hey, best of luck, and we're going to be looking out for the handshake into a hug.
I got you.
And then the bunny ears into the flagging.
The pants, yeah.
To the pants, yep.
Yeah.
I got
you. All right. Thanks so much, Markelle. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That first interview was brought to you by AMC's Preacher. Preacher is one of the hottest, newer shows out there. It's about to kick into season 2. It's based on a popular cult comic book franchise that's got the same name. It's an absurdly twisted and action-packed thrill ride. I watch AMC all the time. I'm going to get into this show. We're going to be a Preacher show big time. That is a promise. Along for the ride, you've got Jesse Custer. He's a small-town preacher with a criminal past, and he realizes that God is absent from heaven. That's messed up, so Jesse sets out to find him. Along, he's got Tulip, Jesse's volatile true love, and Cassidy, a 119-year-old Irish vampire that's Jesse's best friend. They end up in New Orleans, and they got to dodge local gangsters, dangerous secret agents in white suits, and the Saint of Killers, who's an unstoppable, murderous cowboy from hell. I'll watch any show that's set in New Orleans. That's just kind of my rule of thumb that I keep for myself. So don't miss the 2-night premiere. It's on June 25th and June 26th on AMC. It's produced by the producers of Breaking Bad and Seth Rogen, too. So you know it's going to be good. The first season was a great setup for some big moments in season 2. It's fast-paced. You guys are going to love it. Check it out at amc.com/shows/preacher.
And now for something completely different.
All right, we now welcome on the show our good friend, Reen Russillo. We're leading with our good stuff again. So, Ryan Russillo, we joined him on his show last week. First question is, how are you not fired yet?
I don't know. I don't. I think it's because of your following. If I had done it a year and a half ago, I definitely would be fired. Mm. It was great because somebody came up to me and they said, you know, those guys have really figured it out. We're big fans of theirs. I was like, yeah, because they're really famous now and it's successful.
Yes.
Exactly.
And then you had Ravel on the next day, right? So was Ravel?
We had Ravel on.
Was he able to not talk about Hitler when he was co-hosting with you?
Yeah, he avoided it the entire time. He sent us notes for that show 2 weeks prior, every day for 2 weeks.
What a nerd.
He sent us things, and then he sent us a thing that morning to Michelle, our producer, smoke show, and he said, hey, do you want all my takes now, or should I just show up to the meeting with him? And so she was like, I don't know what to do. Why don't you just keep these fresh and we'll see in the meeting. But he was upset that he didn't know that you guys had nerd signs up the entire time he was talking. Ooh. And he said it would have been different had he known that it said nerd talking from Big Cat.
Well, I mean, that's a classic nerd move. Like, oh, if I had known they were punking me, I would have gotten I would have gotten him. I would have fought him.
Know, dude.
Yeah.
He would have been able to think on his feet real fast if he knew.
By the way, Ravel did Ravel Tank on your show, and he said $100 to the winner. I won. Goose Ravenscroft won, but I won, and I have yet to get the $100.
The weird thing is, I bet you we could make that happen. Like, I think we can get Ravel to Venmo you $100. Because this is what the thing is. Now, you guys may not get this, but, like, everybody's on the PMT train now.
Yeah.
So, like, they want to be used. Schefter, you think Schefter would have called into you guys 2 years ago?
No.
Nope.
No. Schefter hates me still. I know that for a fact. All right.
I'll check.
Ryan.
Can confirm.
You are an NBA insider. Is that correct?
I don't really know. I just know a lot about it, and then sometimes I'm on TV.
Oh, okay. So let's start with this. When did you pass from analyst to insider?
Oh, man, that's such a good question. I don't know if you know if I have an answer for it, because an insider is technically on the inside of things, like access denied for most of us, right? It's almost like to talk to me, you have to log on.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was an analyst, I would just be next to you and I would analyze what you saw, but I would analyze it differently and better. So,
'cause you played the game.
I don't really know.
Right.
I think I know how to play the game without playing the game.
Do you think that now that you're an insider, you're less of a journalist, though, because you're not impartial anymore? You've got all these sources.
True.
A lot of people are saying,
access
hey,
journalism.
Hey, Rian is going to say whatever World Wide West tells him to, you know, that sort of thing.
That happens a lot. Worldwide is constantly in my ear, and he's like, why can't you talk of Nick Stauskas more? Stauskas is part of our family, La Familia, Nick Stauskas. Mm-hmm. Shout out
Boris Diaw. Always got to be plugging Boris.
Yep.
Right. Like, if Boris has a bad game, I'll say there's a lot of things that Boris did that non-analysts, non-insiders didn't even see. And I may not even be telling the truth, but you're not even sure because now you're second guessing yourself because I'm an insider.
Right.
Okay. Or an analyst.
I got it. Let's talk NBA draft. So you as an insider and a guy who watches a ton of basketball, you know all these guys. So I have a fun game. PFT has a fun game. I wanted to talk.
My game's not fun.
Oh.
It's just kind of dumb.
Oh, you wanted to go yours
first? Yeah, I'll go first. Here's my really fun game that we're going to play. It's called, here's a quick segment for those of us that don't know much about the NBA draft and are too lazy to Google. So I'm just going to ask you questions I could find out by Googling, but I'm too lazy to do that. Is there a rookie pay scale?
There is. It's all slotted the first 4 years, and then the fifth year is a qualifying offer, and the team options years 3 and 4.
Okay, and is that slotted out for like every single pick in the entire draft, or how does that go?
It's all the first rounders are guaranteed money the first 2 years. It used to be the first 4 years, and they realized, you know what, most of the picks don't work out after the 10 or 15 picks, so why are they getting 4 years of guaranteed money? Then it was three, and then it became like the weird thing is, would you be the first guy that would be drafted that wouldn't have guaranteed money in the third year? And I think it was Patrick O'Brien. He was one of the first guys. You're like, man, you already are not opting in for his third year. Second round picks are less money, less guaranteed. Actually, second rounders, if it works out, it's like the best part of going. But I don't know. This is a team calling me right now with great information. And I'm gonna send him a text.
Ooh.
I know. I'm going to not Schefter you guys.
Okay.
That's big.
You can read the text on air, and we'll break the news, but it's going to air like 10 hours from now. Next question, PFT.
Okay, perfect. Second question. Are there any troops that get brought out for the draft? The NBA or the NFL brings out troops onto the stage?
Man, I hope so.
You're not really doing a great job selling me. I might
no,
not.
That's Ryan texting right now.
Uh-huh.
You could ask him any question. You should ask him for some money.
Maybe.
Hey, can you Venmo us $1,000?
That's me respecting the troops. It's not. I've been in the building for a bunch of years. This year, I'm not going down. I don't remember. There may have been like a "Hey, what's going on?" But it's actually usually just for Knicks fans to yell about stuff, you know, and then that dorky kid getting mad about Porzingis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was wrong.
Yes, very wrong.
Okay,
very
that's wrong. That's it. The end of my fun game.
That was a fun game. All right, my game is a little bit...
That was hilarious. Can I use it on my show tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can use anything you want. All right, I had a few names because people like to do comparisons in the NBA. So I had a few names, and you give me the player in this draft who compares to him, okay?
Okay.
All right, so the first one, I had Vlade. 26th pick, ends up being, you know, many, many time all-star, great player. So who is the late round all-star guy? You don't have to go European, but if you'd like to, you'd get extra points.
Late first is going to be an all-star. Let me see. Who has the potential to actually be an all-star here? I could definitely cheat and say Harry Giles, the freshman at Duke. Because he was hurt. He's done the ACL thing twice. He's probably going to go in the 20s. And the later he goes, the more scared every other team that may have him on their board will want to take him off, because they're going to go, look at all these other teams that have already passed on him. And now he's sitting here. But he was the number one high school recruit by some rankings when he went into Duke. But you really, there wasn't much to see when he played at Duke this year. I mean, he just was a shell of himself. You could see the skills, his hands, how well he runs in transition and can catch and his second jump and that kind of stuff. But I mean, he was a shell of the player that he was before when he was beating up on a lot of these guys as the top picks this year. So that, from a talent standpoint, is a bit of a cop-out, but I'm going to go ahead and cheat my first answer because it's the most likely one.
I like that, though, because that basically, if you're listening to this and your team drafts Harry Giles, you get that like 2 to 3, ooh, Harry Giles might be something, and then it turns out he's not.
Yeah, Like you can... Harry Giles is a player that when your team passes on him for somebody else, you're just mad because you remember he was really high in a recruiting ranking at some point.
Right. All right. Who is this year's Tyrus Thomas? So everyone fell in love with him.
Long.
Jumps out of the gym.
Yeah, really long.
Turns
guy.
Out he just fucking sucks at basketball.
I know. And I kind of held out hope for Tyrus Thomas. I think Tyrus
Thomas. We all did. The guy could jump through the fucking roof.
Yeah, but see, the thing about Tyrus is that he could handle a little, and he had this really, like, he had this edge, and then his edge turned into just being really difficult to kind of deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was going to be, like, the future of the NBA and the way he was going to play. So, all right, so if you're giving me that comp, it's probably Jonathan Isaac from Florida State, because on the high side of things, when you watch him and it's good, he's 7 feet. He's almost 7 feet. He can shoot from three. He averaged, like, 3 assists per game. Oh, wait a minute. No, he was like an assist and a half. I apologize. But he also – now are you guys going to hang up on me because now
nope.
I'm not an insider because I got the assist number wrong?
You can literally make up any stat and we'll be like, oh, cool. Interesting.
I know. I've tried to figure out how I want to play this, if I want to give you guys good answers or not.
But no, we need good answers.
Great so far.
Yeah, because people – the nice thing about this show is – people have a short memory on our mistakes, but they always remember the ones we hit. And they like, so when Harry Giles becomes an all-star, people are going to be like, credit to Ryan Russillo on Part of My Take.
Credit to Part of My Take for having the foresight to bring Ryan Russillo on.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, CC Russillo.
Right.
Yeah, I think that would be the way that it would do. Because Jonathan Isaac, when he's right, it is so impressive that you're sitting there and you're going, wait a minute, how come this guy's not going number one? I mean, he can shoot, he can handle, he'll block shots. So his game against Notre Dame, he was nuts. I was talking to a scout about him last night, name drop, insider. Van Pelt was on my couch. We were watching a Florida State game, not cuddling, another name drop. And we were just, like, shaking our head going, wait a minute, like, how does a Jonathan Isaac go 6, 7, or 8 or something like that? So I don't know that he goes any later than 6. I haven't heard one team in the last 2 months put anybody in their top 6 other than Fultz, Ball, Tatum, Jackson, Fox, and Isaac. So I haven't had like one sneaky guy. Although my favorite part of the Porzingis thing today from that story is that one writer actually wrote, and PFT, like, I think this is racist, and I'd like you to just start an investigation of this, but they said they think that they can replace Porzingis with Lauri Markkanen.
Ooh,
like, what kind of crap is that?
Ooh,
like, that sounds
a white
racist.
Guy.
One
yeah.
guy, skinny, white, Latvian, Markkanen 6'11", skinny, white, Finnish, not even the same province. Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the library and spend about a week, and I'll get back to you and figure out if that's racist or not.
We're going to get in the racist thing.
Early indications say yes.
Yes, yes. All right, next one up. Who is the Dirk Paul Pierce of the draft? Everyone says that this is a super deep draft, and it seems like when you look at the NBA draft through history, there's usually like that one or two guys who go in like the 8 to 13, 14 range who end up being awesome. So who is that guy for these teams that are not in, like, the top five?
Okay. I'm going to give you a wild card here because that's what you're looking for.
Yes.
But it's not, like, a shock talent-wise. But Dennis Smith from NC State, if you watched his game against Duke, you would wonder why you would have any of these other point guards ahead of him. Now, he can be a bit difficult by some accounts. People don't necessarily love, like, the setup for him, you know, going into this and how he's prepared himself. But I would argue...
Ooh, what does that mean? Little red flag? Let's get a red flag alert here. What does the setup mean?
No,
is he working out in the wrong gyms? Is he... What's going on with that?
They don't like his form on his decline push-ups.
Red flag.
Yeah, major red flag. He doesn't bring it all the way down in the incline, and he says because he wants to keep his shoulders healthy, but I think we all know that he's cheating a little bit there. Now, Dennis Smith, he wore the bad body language last year towards the end of the year. But look, the guy that recruits him is getting fired. Godfrey's still there. The whole season for NC State ends up being a mess. The kid's 19 years old. Like, I'm willing to give him a pass on that, even though when you're watching, you're like, man, this dude is miserable. But as another one of these sick point guards that can dribble anywhere he wants, like if somebody said, hey, Dennis Smith, a couple years ends up being, I don't know, like Dirk or Paul Pierce, future Hall of Famers, that's a really tough question, but he's skilled enough. It's not like he's lacking the skills to become a really good player. Mm-hmm. It's just that he's a little bit smaller, and some of the guys are a little just down on how he carried himself at the end of the year.
Okay, I had two more. So the next one was a name that is probably not a household name, Skitishvili. So give us the guy that is the European guy who everyone's freaking out about, and if he actually played in the ACC, everyone would be like, oh, this guy does not play basketball.
Yeah, he stinks.
Yeah. There's always one of those guys who's like, it's like Yi Jingling, who was, you know, doing a bunch of drills against guys holding brooms, and everyone was like, wow, this guy, wow, he can really do stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Remember Jack?
Yes.
Yeah, he got yoked. Yeah. The Skitishvili thing is impossible to ever duplicate because he literally didn't even play when he was in Italy.
Yeah,
and I think D'Antoni is even
he's like a volleyball player.
Like, yeah. Does he pay Fran Fraschilla like money for like? Does he send him a Christmas card every year, being like, "Hey, Fran, thanks for you know"? Because there's always one of those Fran guys.
No. See, this is where you guys are showing your age. This is back in the Chad Ford days.
Oh,
Chad Ford.
Well, no, he got it right. Chad Ford. He changed it after.
Oh. Not fair. Not nice. Chad had a logo that was of him on a dial-up, like a spiral home phone. Like, that was his logo of Chad Ford, the insider. And he used to write, like, it was like newspaper, man. Like, he would sit there and he'd get back from, you know, Montenegro talking about a guy. There was this other dude named Pavel Podkolzin, who was actually represented by Zanuck, the GM, who was supposed to be the GM of the Bucks, and it didn't work out. But... I would print these things out and I would read them and be like, oh my God, this guy's 7'6" and he learned how to dribble from NBA Live. Take him. This guy's going to be incredible. And like, that's what we used to always do and be like, Skitishvili's a taller Jordan with more range.
Yeah, right.
Gotta take him.
Right.
Like, yeah, we went to this shed where the lights were powered by a goat and their daughter. And you're like, what? And everybody would fall in love with these because they were all like mythical creatures. And
right.
You're right. Like, Skitishvili didn't even play. There's no one that's even on the radar that's played as little as Skitishvili has.
So do we have one guy, though? Do we have one European guy who we're like, all right, like, let's pump the brakes on this guy?
It's a bad European class.
So the Knicks aren't going to draft anybody then?
Yeah.
No, that's why that Jonah Bolden kid is from Australia, even though his dad played in the States and then went overseas. Like, he went to UCLA and then bounced, and then he was playing for, I think, the Serbian team the last time I was looking. And, you know, he was like, if people are going to take him just to stash him maybe. Like, that's the best, too.
Mm-hmm.
These draft picks, they're so, for the most part, there's like such a little return on the investment. Like, people want to complain about second-round picks not working out. I went through the last, so if you do, 17 years, 510 second-round picks, 9 have been all-stars in, like, 17 years. So when you have teams that are going, hey, man, this guy would be awesome because we don't have to bring him here, Like, what the hell is that?
Do you remember? Do you remember the Indian kid from who the Mavs drafted? Who in his highlight tape,
New Mexico, right?
Actually had a missed shot, a missed jumper in warmups. That was how little, like, he. I think he played at IMG for a little bit, and it looked like Chief from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He would just like slowly plod down the floor. They'd throw it to him, and then he'd like drop the ball in the basket. Do you remember that guy?
Vaguely, yeah, I'm trying to remember. Is that Singh guy?
Yeah, it was an absolutely hilarious highlight tape. Those are my favorite. Yeah. The highlight tapes of the guys who like haven't played a lot of basketball are always so funny because it's so clear that like it's like four plays.
His tape's on VHS,
so he can walk. Yeah. He can walk. We know that he can walk.
Yeah,
that's about it
now. His first name wasn't Satan, but it looks like it's Satan. It's Satam.
Yes, Satam. Yeah.
Bamana.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, him. Yeah.
Yes. He had a missed jumper in his highlight tape that they played on ESPN.
I always thought it was Punjabi, and that's Punjab. Is that? Can someone? Do you have research? Get on that.
Yeah, Hank, get
Hank's
on that.
All
yeah,
over
Hank's
it.
On it.
Check Wikipedia stat. And then there's also the guy
I'm looking at his Wikipedia right now. Sorry, I'm just on it, and it's just great because it's like, oh, he played at IMG. They also had Kobe, Vince Carter, Noah, and Chauncey Dolan. Because that is such a relevant part of the Satam Singh
right.
story.
Right.
They got good coaches. Also, Kobe. Great recruiting.
Yeah.
There's another guy that gets picked in every draft, and that's the guy that's taken the second round by the Spurs, and people treat him like Belichick taking a quarterback in the sixth round, and they're like, that's actually a great value pick right there. Like Dwan Blair. Everyone thought Dwan Blair was the guy because Pop liked him.
Yeah.
Well, he actually ended up being okay.
Yeah,
he was all right.
He had no knee ligaments.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had no... you know what's great,
risky
too,
take
on a mock draft? Yeah, right now it's great because one mock draft has with the 59th pick for the Spurs that Jonathan Jean guy, the French kid,
yes.
who's 7'2", and actually was pretty good at the combine,
yes.
believe it or not. Like, I watched him warm up. I go, this guy's going to suck. And he actually was pretty good. He was pretty competitive. But he has this new thing. Like, he was supposed to be a first-round pick. He has some sort of disorder. So if the Spurs take him 59th, book it, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, without a doubt. Speaking of, this is random, Dwan Blair, whatever happened to Sam, what was his name, who had the best pump fake ever?
Best pump fake ever?
He would literally pump fake to his tippy toes. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Danny
on Pitt?
Portman?
No, on Pitt. This is really bad radio, but it's driving me crazy.
Wait a minute, was it the guy who looked like 100 years old?
Yeah, Sam Young maybe?
Yeah, that's
Young.
Right.
Sam Young, yes.
That's great.
Yes.
You have notes in front of you? Or
no.
Do you remember this?
No. I mean, you can't forget that pump fake.
He's playing for Al Ahly Dubai.
Fake. Yeah, okay, there we go. So his career worked out. All right, last question about the draft. I have two last questions. One is there any chance Luke Kennard is going...
He's on Twitter, by the way.
Who, sorry. Sam Young?
Yeah, at Sam Young.
We're going to get him on the show.
Followers. It's at Sam Young 4. He says he's 90% unsure about the next challenge life has for him, but 100% sure his work ethic will overcome the struggle.
There we go. He's still grinding.
I like
he's
that guy.
He's still grinding. Sam
That's
Young.
My kind of guy.
Great pump fake. We're going to put that on a clip out.
Look,
I mean, yeah.
This is awesome. You may also like Akeem Warwick or Austin Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Akeem
hey,
Warwick.
We back in this, man.
Yeah, we are. What about Luke Kennard? Any chance that he can follow the Bulls? Because I have a little thing for lefties who can dribble behind their back. It's cool. It's cool to look at.
Are you talking about Portnoy right now?
No, I'm talking about Luke Kennard.
Who can dribble behind their back lefty, though? Are you talking about you?
No, I'm talking about how cool it looks. It just looks cool on a basketball court. Lefties look cool, and then people who can dribble behind their back also look cool.
So he can do both of those things. There's no way.
That's why I got him on my tickler file.
I don't think he gets past Detroit at 12.
Shit. So who the Bulls going to take? There's a couple I noticed. I think there's two guys from Iowa State who are both seniors, so that seems like pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah, they transferred in though. So they're like 24.
Still Ames Mafia, yeah.
Well, they actually They may draft Sam Young. They're like, we like how seasoned he is and that he's 100% ready.
I got to say, I'm watching the Sam Young highlight tape right now.
It's unforgettable pump fake.
Pump faking guys through the roof.
Yes, he's right to his tippy toes.
I think one was Tyrus Thomas, and he just jumped over his head.
It's an incredible pull.
Yeah.
That's an incredible pull, because you're right, because I totally remember it now. Like, he would go both feet sometimes.
Yes, yes.
Oh. And you looked, he was like, how come your dad's here? You're like, no, he plays for Pitt.
Yeah, right, right. He had that Greg Oden, like a 19-year-old who looked like he was 50. Yeah.
Right. That guy's been buying beer for kids in parking lots since he was 15. and I don't even know, like, we're all equal here. I'm just saying. Let's see. The Bulls, I don't know what they're going to do, man. I actually, like, there's certain teams where I'll go, okay, like the Pistons thing I've heard. You know, I don't think Donovan Mitchell will get to the Heat to 14, but if they would, they'd probably pull that off. I'm looking at one. I mean, I'm not going to read mock drafts to you. I would, you know what I'll do is I'll text you before Thursday's draft and tell you the latest that I've heard that actually makes sense. Because
okay.
I don't want to say
it'll be great for listeners.
And not even be close.
Well, I have a theory because it sounds like you don't hear a lot of chatter from the Bulls. And some people, so here's my theory. So some people will say that the Bulls are very secretive. But it turns out they're just actually not doing anything. So, like, they're just sitting there silently in a room, and they're all just kind of staring at each other, being like, oh, I don't know. And so everyone's like, ooh, the Bulls are so secretive. It's like, no, there's actually no thought or conversation going on at the Bulls facility right now.
There's nothing to leak.
Yeah, right, exactly. They couldn't leak anything if they wanted to.
That's a really good working theory, because I don't really hear a lot on the Bulls.
Like, Helen Keller could keep a secret.
Right, exactly. That's kind of how the Bulls front office runs.
I asked a couple different people today, and I was like, what's the price for Jimmy Butler? Can any of you freaking people give me a ballpark price for what it is for Jimmy Butler? Is it a pick in the top 10 this year and a future? Is it three first? Is it fit? You know, and no one can come close. You might be onto something here.
Yes.
I don't know what the price for Jimmy Butler is, and the guy's been on the block for 6 months.
Yeah, that's because the Bulls don't know. They're literally just staring at a phone. There's a phone. If I can imagine what it looks like right now, it's Jim Paxson. It's John. So they hired John's stupid brother, Jim. So it's Jim, John, and Gar Forman, and there's a phone sitting right in the middle, and they're just staring at it.
His name's Jim John?
No, there's two Paxsons now who are in the war room.
Is that the sandwich guy?
Yeah, they're really going for it.
Maybe they're spending too much time with the sandwiches.
Yeah.
That's the issue. I'm going to remove myself from some of this, because I actually think there was a structure they drafted really, really well. And now all you Bulls fans are so mad that you think they're just morons from day one. And I will admit, it's become a little challenging. But they've actually had stretches where they drafted really, really well.
No.
And I honestly can't believe the Hoiberg thing's been this much of a disaster. Like, I wasn't saying, oh my God, don't hire Fred Hoiberg. I was like, hey, finally, you got Fred Hoiberg out of college, because all these other NBA teams have been trying to hire him for a really long time. So the fact this has gone as bad as it's gone, I can't believe. But then once you add Rondo, and then you give Dwayne Wade all that money because he's kind of from Chicago, to somehow replace the romance of Derrick Rose, which was definitely the right move at that time to move on from Rose. Like, I had no problem them giving the keys to Jimmy. But the distrust that Jimmy has with the coach and the front office, like, it's just irreparable.
Right.
I mean, excuse me. You can't fix this thing now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're right. You're right. I do give them. They've had some good draft picks, but overall, there's no plan. And if you're not tanking or competing, what are you doing? And that's where they land. All right. We have. We're gonna let you go, but I first wanted to finally ask, what do you? You said that you don't bench Max anymore. I don't think you're telling us the truth.
What I tried to do for a while was just see how many reps of 225 I could get, like it was the combine.
Yeah, me too.
You're such a fucking meathead.
Oh, I'm the worst. Like, I'm...
You get double digits?
I'm not, like... The thing is, like, I have this theory, right, in life. And, like, in your 20s, you think you know who you are, and you're full of shit. In your 30s, you're, like, you're trying to figure out who you are, because you knew in your 20s you were lying to yourself, and you were lying to everybody else. And I always try to tell, like, young people that graduate from college, be like, you know, there's going to be this jerk who's like a year out and he's wearing blazers at happy hour Thursday, you know, like maybe, you know, the boatyard thing there, Upper West Side. He's going to be telling you how he's killing it and merger. He's going to make up all these words and you're going to feel like you haven't figured it out yet. And I'm going to be like, look, that guy's full of shit. So don't worry about him. Don't compare yourself to him, because he's going to like lose his mind because he's been faking it the whole time. So your 30s, you start to realize these things, but you still don't really know who you are. Once you get to 40, I think it's just you accept yourself. You go, I don't care anymore. This is who I am. I'm never going to change. There's some things I wish I could fix. There's some things I wish I was better at, but now I just don't care, and I'm not going to beat myself up over it anymore. So the lifting thing, I live in Connecticut. I'm single. I've been here for 9 years. I'm bored out of my mind, even though I have a great job. So part of that is when people are like, what do you, like, how do you stay in shape? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm bored out of my mind. And they're like, well, what are you doing? I'm like, probably just anger. Like, it's mostly based on anger, and that's a great motivating factor in the gym. So I haven't done, like, I got 315. I can get 315,
Woo!
But I'm afraid to even put any more on it. I'm not even sure if I can get more.
You're going to break the bar right off.
Yeah, you're afraid of who you are.
What about,
you're afraid to find out who you are.
What about squats? What do you squat these days?
Max squat, forget it. With me, no chance. I can do 315 for 8 reps, and I'm happy to leave the gym without a knee pain.
We talking ass to grass, or are we just going horizontal?
No, I might cheat on that last one. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. Ooh, all right. We appreciate
that. Let's work on the range of motion.
All right, Ryan, thank you. We do also want to have you on to do like a biz chat. A fun one.
A biz chat.
A
that's
biz
what we
chat
call it, yeah.
About a guy who's been in the biz forever. But we want to do that in person. But this was great because we needed some draft expertise.
Because we kept putting it off. Yeah. Like, you know, I really, honestly, I mean this, though. I appreciate you guys even asking me in the beginning of this thing so freaking long ago, and then it didn't happen. And then for how long? A year I've been saying, oh, I just want to do it in person. So we just tell people that I am cooler in your eyes and that I was booked earlier and that I'm not getting on this train when it became mainstream.
Yeah, sure.
You could have
sure
been like the third or fourth guest, but you just didn't want to do it. You turned us. You made us keep asking you for
could've
it.
Could have had Apple stock.
Yeah.
But here you are sitting with what's the shitty Apple stock?
IBM.
Yeah. Cricket wireless stock. Good job, buddy.
Prepaid. Burner phone.
That's a great company.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Thank you, Ryan. We'll talk soon.
Those interviews were brought to you by Miller Lite. I could sure use a cold Miller Lite right now. I'm on a diet, and diet and darting usually don't mix, but then I remember that Miller Lite is brewed for more taste with only 96 calories and very few carbs, and then I'm like, darty on. For darties that turn into nardies, there's only one beer for the job, Miller Lite, the original light beer, brewed for more taste while still being less filling. Dieting, darting, barbecuing, there's no way I'm cutting out any one of those activities. I'm going to do all three. Oftentimes at the exact same time. That's why I reach for the Miller Lite, the original great-tasting light beer that doesn't compromise on taste.
All right, let's get to some segments. First up, we have a So this one goes out to Cody Bellinger, Los Angeles Dodgers phenom. He just hit his 21st home run of the season. He's only played 51 games. He missed the first few weeks. 21 home runs in 51 games. I think if he stays on this pace, he's going to hit like 58 home runs or something, huh? Out of nowhere.
And you said he's brand new?
Yeah.
Like a rookie?
Weird. And, here's another stat to make you go, the Dodgers haven't had a 30-homer hitter since Matt Kemp in 2011. So everyone knows Chavez Ravine is not exactly a hitter's park, but here's Cody Bellinger out of nowhere.
Interesting. It's like we all had that one friend that didn't really drink much or at all in high school. And they get to college and they overdo it and just get in a whole lot of trouble.
Yep.
That's kind of what Cody's doing with steroids.
Yeah. Well,
because you're not allowed to use them at all in minor. They test you all the time.
Right. And Clayton Kershaw gave up 4 home runs on Monday night. So maybe Cody just took Clayton's steroids.
Allegedly.
The great thing, or the problem with what Cody Bellinger's doing, is he's set the bar too high. Like, you cannot keep this pace up. I'm sure he's going to be an unbelievable player, and like, watching him swing, he's got an awesome swing, but unless you hit 60 home runs every year, everyone's going to be like, you're like, what happened
he's,
to you?
He's Jeremy, or Jeremy Lin-ing himself.
Yeah.
Cody Belling sanity.
Yeah. Take it easy, man. Just be average for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Then every now and then do something incredible and everyone will call you amazing.
Same rule of thumb goes in relationships.
Yeah.
You don't want to like get really, really good gifts right off the
bat. Don't
get
flowers every day.
No.
Don't Ernie Johnson her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You want to just take it easy.
That's right.
And then every now and then when you get the flowers like once every 5 years, you're a hero.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look, you paid an extra $6 for me at the supermarket. I love you so much.
You thought of me for 1 second outside of when I wasn't in front of your face.
You bought a $5 rose on the corner right outside our house.
It's already dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. but the thought that counts. Next up, we have a problematic. This one goes out to King of Sports Talk Radio, Mike Francesa. He's actually going to be a podcaster soon.
King of podcast. I'm a king of podcasting.
We saw him at the Mets game, Mets Cubs game, and he left in the third inning.
The sports pope. He's a sports pope here. Yeah. I'm going to be a podcaster.
So Mike Francesa just found. Work. He
needs
just
work.
Found out.
He needs to workshop this during this segment, work. If that's okay.
He just found out that you can't. That saying Oriental. When talking about Asian Americans, is in fact offensive. It wasn't even the fact that he just found this out. He was reading it from an article where the article was referring to like this band as Oriental Americans. So he's reading it. So he had plausible deniability. He's like, oh, I was just reading it word for word. But then he added in, I was reading the article, but I would have said it anyway because I didn't know it was offensive.
Right. And I'm actually okay with, but I'm so glad that he found out on the air. Mm-hmm. That this was offensive. Because, like, I want Mike Francesa to just be, like, this old, like, stuck in his ways bigot. I don't want, like, a progressive Mike Francesa out there being like, oh, you know, the first baseman, it's reinforces the gender binary. It needs to be a first base person, first base shim.
Yeah, we still need some work.
Not shim. So it's like first base.
Pull the plug on this one.
Yeah, how do you pronounce XER?
Pull the plug on this one.
Your impressions are Mike Greenberg or Coach O, and they everything all fall else. Somewhere
yeah. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, either way, Mike Francesa, thank you for figuring out that you've been problematic. I agree, though. Like, there's... I don't want to say that any like people can just go around saying whatever they want, but there is a certain level of like your old grandfather's not going to probably change saying the things that he's saying. Maybe just don't say him on air.
What do you mean I can't shoot? I can't shoot a Chinese for having an oversized muffler.
We have an emergency football guy of the week. What was this one?
Oh, this is a good one. Yeah. So emergency football guy of the week. There's a Green Bay Packer fan. It's a dude. He got married. Congrats on the sex. He married a woman named Marie Packer. It was in a Packers-themed wedding because that's all that they think about. And he took his wife's last name.
Oh,
and
so now not a football guy. Football cuck.
I would actually say that this is a football guy move as long as you make your wife take your last name and you take hers.
But it's
fair is fair.
Other way around. He just took her last name.
Yeah, but it's 2016, so you should be able to trade last names.
Do I even have to ask if these people have a little framed Packer owner picture of their thing in their basement?
I think that
maybe
goes
some
without
Lambo
saying,
turf.
But they probably also got like 60 more shares as wedding presents from all their cousins.
They definitely like they have their basement painted. They have like Favre jersey painted onto the wall.
They probably have Favre tattoos, yeah.
Yes, matching Favre tattoos.
Well, okay, so here you go.
One's a dick, one's Crocs.
The thing is, the groom's name was Ryan Holton-Murphy, Ryan Holton Murphy. So he gave up the hyphen in the last name.
That makes it a little
better.
So,
like, that's a really convenient way to get rid of that jumbly last name.
True, because everyone knows the hyphens. Come on. Like, hyphen kids, you know.
Explain it to Hank. What's the point of a hyphen?
It's so that the mother can also have ownership of the child.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's it, right?
Yeah, it's basically like co-signing on a loan.
Yeah, but either way, I want hard facts here. Hyphen kids out there, you know what we're saying when we say that
like knock it
we
off.
Don't really like you. Yeah. Right. So I'm sorry to all the award-winning listeners who have hyphens. I apologize. But at the same time, you're a fuckhead. trouble and fear. It's actually not your fault, but your family's a fuckhead.
Here's a classic quote from the wedding real quick, okay? The bride was very excited because everyone was in black tuxedos and everything. And I was like, where's the green and gold? Because she knew that her husband was a huge Packers fan, but everyone was very, very formal, very stately. And then she walks around the corner and he's wearing a Packers tuxedo.
Of course.
That has Packers and G and it's green and yellow all over it.
I'm shocked they didn't save this to do it at a tailgate. Maybe at the gas station across from Lambeau where people have open flames all the time.
Yep.
All right. Last, before we get to guys on chicks, we have a little trouble in paradise. Phil Mickelson and his caddy, Bones?
Yeah.
Bones?
You've never heard of Bones?
I'm not really big on the caddy game.
Well, nobody is, but Bones is the only guy, probably because he's the only one with a cool nickname like
right.
Bones.
And probably the only one who probably has to be deposed for insider trading.
Yeah, definitely.
So you remember Bones.
Yes.
But they are splitting up, and I mean, we all know why, right? Two reasons. One, Phil didn't go to the U.S. Open. So Bones missed the paycheck there. And two, Bones is probably Phil's bookie, and Phil probably can't gamble anymore.
That's I'd say you're probably right on both those accounts. But two things. One, you don't break up with the only caddy on tour that has a nickname.
Very true.
And now you've got a guy named Robert or something holding your bag. And the second, you certainly don't fuck over a guy that knows where all the bodies are buried.
Yes.
And if you're Phil, there are a lot of berries.
Oof,
out there. A
lot of bodies. Mm-hmm. Hank just said that Phil's hiring his brother to be his caddy. What's with Phil just doing family stuff now?
Yeah,
he's just rubbing it in Tiger's face. Uh-huh. I have a family. You don't, Tiger.
Oh, and this was in Wisconsin, too, like in Aaron Rodgers' backyard.
Yeah. This is,
shots fired.
Phil's acting strange. I think we need to let him. I think we need to, a presidential pardon. Phil Mickelson's allowed to insider trade so that he can just be regular.
Well, yeah. I mean, thoughts and prayers to Phil, because he does pay nearly 48% in income taxes in California. So he's paying a lot of money.
He's only making
12. $15 million a year.
Yeah, it's like when a football coach retires and then the wife is like, oh, he was all up in my shit. I can't stand it. Mm-hmm. When Phil can't insider trade, his wife's like, God damn it, he loves us so much now. It's the worst. All right, Hank, guys on chicks. Oh, before we do it, we're going on the road. So Vanny Woodhead has been revived, we think. We'll find out Wednesday night when we pick it up in Indianapolis. We're going to Bo Pelini's. It's the Ron Stoops Sr. and Anthony Pelini Memorial Foundation Bocce Social, and it's Sunday in Youngstown, Ohio. So if you want to come play bocce with us, come to it's at MVR 410 Walnut Street in Youngstown, Ohio, the Bo Pelini Bocce Tournament. Sign up. You can get tickets.
That's right. Youngstown, the birthplace of grit.
We're excited. We got a couple of interviews lined up. It's going to be a great time, and Vanny's going to be back. So, whew.
Can't wait.
Sup, boys. Can you explain to me why I get bloated during my period?
Oh, too much blood.
Yeah.
That's my first stab.
Well, no, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Most women these days, they use the tampons.
Uh-huh.
And so you're essentially making yourself airtight.
Yeah.
Whereas normally there's all sorts of orifices that are just hanging out there that if your body needs to get rid of some of that gas or air buildup, it's free to. Now you're basically, it's like when you put the plug down on the drain.
Right.
You're going to be stopped up for a while.
Yeah. It's simple as getting a bruise. And then the blood, it gets a little, you get a little welt and it maybe, puffs up a little.
Mm-hmm.
That's your whole body, because you got the blood going and there's extra blood, mm-hmm, and more blood than usual. It's actually a fact. Women during their periods are carrying up to 2 liters more blood than the average human.
That's true. And also when you cry a lot when it's your period, all that salt gets reabsorbed through your cheeks.
It's bad.
So it gets out of your eyeballs, but it goes to your cheeks, which puffs them up.
Yep.
And then that's what makes you look bloated, but mm-hmm, you're not, it's just you're carrying in a different place.
Yeah. I think we nailed that.
Any tips on getting insurance to cover your breast reduction surgery?
Oh.
Lie about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find a sugar daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh, sugar daddy's probably I want those titties all big and titties. Yeah, you're going to have to lie about it.
Guys hate big boobs.
Yeah.
Good point.
No, that's what I say. I went back on my thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'd say just lie about it. Just say that it's back pain. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Actually, that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Because, just be like, well, can you get breast enhancement surgery
if
you have back pain?
Wouldn't
that just cause more back pain?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, if you had a huge butt.
Here's what you do.
Yeah
I got to
even it out.
I was going to say, you balance the scale a little bit.
Right, exactly. So do some squats.
I got this huge ass from my butt augmentation surgery 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So now I need to counterbalance it with a couple D cups up front.
Right. And then you can be an Instagram model and sell us that diarrhea tea that everyone sells.
All right. Last one. Why does my boyfriend need more recovery time than me to have another orgasm?
Oh. Well, so the only difference between men and women is men have jizz, cum, semen. Semen?
Yeah.
Semen. So when
sperm.
We lose it, we're actually chicks for 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're like, oh, my head hurts, I don't want to have sex.
Yeah, I was going to say the real reason why men have to have a longer recovery time is because if we didn't have that recovery time, we would be the worst creatures on the earth.
Right.
If I was able to come every 2 minutes,
mm-hmm,
nobody would ever want to be around me.
Right.
We need that to become normal human beings for a couple minutes.
It's an overpopulation control.
Yeah.
Is us not being, it's like a little restrictor.
You think,
hey, slow down.
You think guys are bad now? Take away our refractory period and see how bad this earth gets.
Right. The real answer though is our balls just have to create more cum, I think.
I think people would just be fucking trees if guys could come every
minute. Explain it to Big Cat. Where does cum come from? Ooh. Where does cum come from?
The balls.
Okay. Then there's your answer.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there are a lot of mitochondria. You know how the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell?
Yes.
The balls are filled with mitochondrium,
mm-hmm.
and they just, the mitochondria are fucking each other, which makes sperm.
You ever seen horse cum?
Oh, yeah. I've seen a horse jerk off before.
Oh.
You ever seen that?
All right, so we're sideways
with
here.
With a hoof?
Yeah. It was just standing in the field kicking, literally kicking its dick.
Its own dick.
With its back leg for about 15 minutes.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, get off how you get off, man. We've all been in weird spots. No,
did you know that whales come 100 gallons of cum every time they come?
Oh, my God.
We're a sex-positive yeah. podcast here. Yeah. Which animal do you think fucks best?
Ooh, rabbits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably. Tough to beat a rabbit.
Yeah, yeah. And that was Cum Talk with the guys from Part of My Take. All right, that's our show. We will see you on Friday. Like I said, we're going to be on the road. I think we have a Mount Rushmore with our good friend Mark Titus that we're going to air. He was actually the first alternate. So if any of the Mount Rushmore of recurring guests passed away when taping, Mark was going to step in.
Next in line.
So we're going to have him and then probably another guest as well. So tune in.
Love you guys. So while you were out of
the room. Are you breaking news about the Bulls?
Not really. While you were out of the room, we were talking about our Mount Rushmore of websites, and Billy goes, I wasn't allowed to use the internet until 2010.
Fuck you, Billy.
That's exactly what I said.